daughter and came to his own town.
Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven."
At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming."
Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts?
Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'?
But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home."
And the man got up and went home.
When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men.
As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's seat. Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him.
While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples.
And the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?"
On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick."
But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, NIU vocal team will sing a special song.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to our CUD and NIU Summer Bible Conference. The title of my message is Jesus Has Authority to Forgive Sins. From Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 8, the key verse being verse 6. Let's all read verse 6 together. You ready?
But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home.
Let me begin with prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today to worship you. Continually bless our ministries, COD and NIU, to co-work for your mission, Lord. Bless this summer Bible school and help us to be fruitful and bring many people to learn about you and to bring them to your kingdom. I pray all this in your name. Amen. Part 1, a paralyzed sinner. In the previous passage, Jesus had just returned from the region of Gadarenes, where he healed two demon-possessed men. Jesus was now on his way to the region near his home. Soon after he arrived, some men brought to Jesus a paralytic lying on a mat. Being a paralytic, this man was not able to move an inch of his body. Because he was physically incapable of moving his body, this man's life was probably very challenging and miserable. There's no doubt that his whole life must have been shrouded with clouds of depression and anguish. Suicide was probably a lingering thought in this man's head, but even doing so was impossible. Every day must have been a struggle. Every day must have seemed meaningless. Yet, for this man, as dark as it may sound, every day was just a day closer to the end of his miserable life. Yet, for this man, he had nothing to look forward to in life. In an era where there were no modern treatments for paralysis, this man had to rely heavily on those around him. Every simple task had to be done by someone else. He couldn't wash himself, he couldn't eat by himself, he couldn't go to the bathroom by himself. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing he could do. Because he was so reliant on others, he probably felt like a huge burden. I like to think of myself as a pretty independent individual. Whether it be school studies, sports, or just random trials I might face in life, I try to overcome everything on my own. But of course, there are limits as to how much I can take. When I do come up short, however, there's always someone there to try to help me out. Yet, I find myself straying away from such people because, like the man in this passage, I feel like a huge burden. And in the end, I become hopeless. This man, though he may not be doing so openly, is a sinner. Now, some of you might ask, how can a man who can't use his arms or legs be a sinner? Whether he was paralyzed or not, like everyone here, he is a natural born sinner. Take a look at the neighbor next to you. As sweet and lovely he or she may be, he or she is still a sinner. Not sure, most of us don't go robbing banks or snatching little children, but that doesn't surprise us. Although we may not show up publicly at times, we are still categorized as wretched, wretched sinners. Now some may be thinking, I'm not that bad of a sinner. But how many of us have secretly despised others in this room? How many of us have ever had an immoral lie? And how many of us at some time deny Jesus in order to please ourselves? Now what happens when we sin? Like the paralyzed man in this passage, we become utterly powerless. His physical condition, if we examine this carefully, is representative of what sin can do to an individual. I'm not saying sin will cause us to become physically paralyzed, although in some cases it might. But as mentioned before, sin will cause our spirit to be weakened. When sin takes over, Satan is so easily able to come and snatch us away from God. Essentially, we're giving Satan the green light to come and destroy our lives. Sin is the root of all our suffering. Naturally, we know what is good, and we know what is evil. We know that sin causes us to suffer, yet we continue to do so. Now this is the exact reason why we need Jesus in our lives. Sin may naturally bound our lives, however Jesus' unconditional forgiveness is always there to break the chains of sin apart. Part 2, Jesus' forgiveness and authority. I'm sure many of you have heard of Joni Itada. Joni Itada was born in 1949 in Baltimore, Maryland. At the age of 18, Joni suffered an injury which made her a quadriplegic. During her time of rehabilitation, she said she suffered through bouts of anger, depression, suicidal thoughts, and religious doubt. Jody must have struggled with and cursed death. Sin had her enslaved. However, in the end, her faith in Jesus' forgiveness prevailed. After she came to God through repentance, Jody's life was changed. She found hope in her life once again. Not only did she learn how to paint beautifully, but she also composed many songs praising the Lord, all while still being a quadriplegic. Although this man seemed utterly hopeless, there was still a glimmer of hope in his life. His friends had faith in Jesus. They knew that Jesus had the power and authority to heal this man. However, Jesus didn't automatically do so. As it says in verse 2, when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Why didn't Jesus command this man to walk? Why did he choose to forgive the man first? Well, the reason is, without Jesus' healing, we're incomplete. For the most part, all we want Jesus to do is make us walk. Or in other words, we just want the physical provisions from Jesus. All we want is Jesus to get rid of that one annoying neighbor, or to give us that pay raise we so badly deserve. Now, sure, the Lord is all powerful and He can provide such things for us, but without spiritual healing, we stay stagnant. Without spiritual healing, no real change occurs. Physically, something may be different, but spiritually and mentally, we still suffer. What good is a new car if you still suffer from the sorrow you did the day before? In life, to ask for physical change can be easier than to ask for the spiritual. It's so easy to ask the Lord for a new computer, but when the time comes to ask for forgiveness, it becomes really difficult. And that's understandable. Maybe it's our self-pride that's getting away, or maybe we just don't feel worthy enough to feel this forgiveness. Whichever case it may be, the underlying theme between both is a lack of faith. In verse 3, the teachers of the law declared Jesus' word as blasphemy because they too had no faith in Jesus' authority. Whether we believe our sins are too small or too large for Jesus, in the end, our sins end with Jesus on the cross. On the cross is where Jesus gains His authority to forgive, because on that cross is where Jesus bore our sins.
Amen.
In this self-pleasure-seeking generation, it becomes especially difficult to find faith in Jesus' authority. When we have to ask for forgiveness for our sins, sometimes it seems like the fun has been ruined. It's true, sin can be pleasurable and fun at the moment, but in the end it causes us so much suffering. Now, Jesus didn't come to take fun out of our lives. No. But rather, He came to save them through His forgiveness.
Amen.
Even when we are hopeless and downcast like the man in this passage, Jesus is always there to forgive us.
Amen.
But in order to receive His forgiveness, we must have faith in His authority to do so.
Amen.
At times it may be hard, especially when our pride or ego hinders us. But we must always keep in mind that Jesus' amazing forgiveness is what can truly save our lives.
Amen.
His forgiveness changes us from the spiritually paralyzed to the spiritually rejuvenated.
Amen.
Part 3. After the forgiveness. Later in this passage, Jesus commands the paralyzed man to get up, take his mat, and go home. There are two ways we can look at this. First, we can see how Jesus is able to solidify His authority to forgive, but we also see a transition within this man. When Jesus commanded the man to get up, take his mat, and go home, Jesus was in a way telling the man to leave his past life of sin. In essence, Jesus commanded the man to leave his paralyzed state and lead a new life. In many ways, Jesus does the same for us. After we have received His forgiveness, Jesus doesn't let us fall back into the dark. Rather, He leads us to a new life leading to the eternal. Mm-hmm. In conclusion, through this passage, we can see just how amazing Jesus' forgiveness is. His forgiveness is what takes the sin and sorrows away from our lives. His forgiveness is what turns the spiritually paralyzed into the spiritually strong. By placing our faith in His authority, Jesus is able to come into our lives and give us that healing. The healing through His forgiveness.
Amen.
Amen.
We can also learn from this passage that after Jesus' forgiveness, we mustn't go back astray, but rather we must stay in the path that Jesus leads us to, the path to eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray and finish. Dear Lord, just give us Your strength and courage to have faith in your authority to forgive us, Lord. Help us to know that your forgiveness is what can save our lives. Your forgiveness takes all the depression, all the sorrow, all the sin that makes us suffer, Lord. Continually bless this Summer Bible School and help all the messengers, testimony sharers, inspiration, and the presiders, and just give them your strength and wisdom to carry on there. I pray all this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.